The following financial analysis professional have asked the question that I will now submit to the managers which are driving this event. First one is Gonzalo Sánchez Bordona, UBS, Manuel Palomo, Exane BNP, Javier Garrido, JP Morgan, Rob Poulain, Morgan Stanley, James Brandt, Deutsche Bank, Mark Fresney, Credit Suisse, Hadmet Farman, Jefferies, José Ruiz, Barclays, Fernando García, Royal Bank of Canada, Fernando Lafuente, Alantra, Jorge Alonso, Societe General, Javier Suárez, Mediobanca, Philippe Orpatian, Odo, Jorge Guimarães, JB Capital, and finally, Andrew Mulder from Credit Sites. We have a set of first questions related to the guidance given. The first one is, have you increased full year 23 guidance from mid-single digit growth on euro 4.3 billion net profit for full year 22 to mid to high single digit? What are the drivers of this profit increase?
So, as I mentioned, yes, we are already increasing from mid to high single digit growth. I think the drivers are simple. I think it's, we are planning 3,000 new megawatts of additional capacity, which 500 of those will be offshore. Higher hydro and wind output due to the higher reserves and normalized wind factor. In networks, the rate cases in Brazil, I just mentioned, has been approved, Pepe mentioned already. In the US, which we expect, we will start already New York, especially from May. The recovery, to continue recovery, even in a small scale, the previous year deficit accumulated in UK. Accumulating UK after new regulatory measures, as well as adjustment of the price cap from April. And I think it's the optimization as well of the financial profile, thanks to the acquisition of the capital instruments. So, but I think I would like to insist, yes, we are already increasing our local outlook from mid to mid to high single digit for the reason I had already explained.
Second one is, does the guidance include any potential capital gains on Mexico and Brazil transaction? Can you please clarify if the guidance for 2023 for mid to high single digit net income growth includes the impact of the Spanish special energy tax?
So our guidance does not, as I mentioned before, does not consider any additional extraordinary result. And I think that is our case. It's not already considering any result for transaction already closed. When we make our estimate, we always are considering, we are not considering capital gains for our asset rotation transaction. Of course, in terms of the taxation, is included. It's already included in the first quarter. This 1.2% is already in our accounts of the first quarter of the year, as Pepe has already mentioned, has partially already compensated by another positive things we had already this year, mainly the fact that we've been not forced to buy huge amount of electricity because of the problem we faced last year with Cofrentes and because of the low hydro and wind resource we had already during the first quarter last year. Then this year, fortunately, last year, very high prices. This year, fortunately, all this thing has been normalized. Cofrentes is working as a normal condition, and the hydro is already an average reserve. We have already a reasonable situation during the first months of the year. In our total reserve of our dams are already normalized, fully normalized.
Next question is related to the weather condition in Spain. Could you please update the situation of the hydro reserves in those areas where you are exposed to, and how it compares with historical average, if possible?
Armando, can you?
Hello, good morning to everybody. As the chairman has just said, our reserves now, it's normalized based on the rains that we have on December and January. That was mainly on the northwest of the country, and also for our pumping storage capability. So I think in the Duero and Tajo River, we are increased a lot compared with last year. And also in Miño, I think our reserve now is around 60%. It's not the same case and in the Ebro River that is decreased, because now the situation is much better in the northwest.
Next question is, considering the asset rotation done new guidance for net debt by year end, and also on the dividend per share?
Pepe, can you?
Yes, including you know, the PNM deal. So our guidance will go below the 50 billion euros. Remember that more or less our budget was that we were going to be around 54 billion, including including PNM deal, and now we are expecting below 50 billion. And on the dividend per share, I don't know if you want Chairman to comment on the dividend per share. They are asking also the dividend per share.
How much to increase?
Yes,
I think as always, in line with increase of the net profit as well. So I think we will continue our policy always on the payout on 65% to 75% payout, and that makes then the increase in dividend will be in line with increase on net profit. So that is the idea.
Next question is a kind of crystal ball question. When do you think the clawback in Spain and windfall taxes in Europe will be removed?
Well, I think it's, we are seeing that the market of gas market is becoming normalized, and our guidance consider that they, that it will be they consider they will be extended for the whole year. Although we are seeing that this normalization of gas prices, we are not seeing any reason to extend beyond the summer. So I think the fact we are seeing, then the Spanish exception is not being applied at all in this moment, because the prices are lower than those has been already intervened. I think my point is that we need already we need huge investment required. If we would like to become more self-sufficient in energy, if we would like to avoid already situation like we passed last year, and for that we need huge investment. And for making this huge investment, require a stable, predictable frameworks. I think it's the way of continuous intervention. I think last year was already, if I don't remember bad, I think 12 different changes in legislation in Spain for in electricity when the problem was gas. So and I think we need already this stability, predictability, a good light, and this this decarbonization, this efficiency will be done. I think my word, and I'm using the word with some of my colleagues are using systematically, we need in Europe more carrots and less sticks. So I think we need already to be to provide more like Americans are doing, providing more carrots. I think we need already facilitating, incentivating, not penalizing. Because if not, the investment will be not already flowing in the amount which is going to be required.
Next question is related to the European regulation. When do you expect firm details from European Power Market Reform, Net Zero Act, and Net Zero Green Deal Industrial Plan? What are market expectations for the European Union Renewables Directive, and whether permitting can be accelerated?
Well, many things in Europe has been done. I think we are talking too much about IRA, American IRA, which I think is great, I have to recognize. But mainly IRA, American IRA, is already providing this stability and predictability. I think the ITCs and PTCs were already in the system from the since the Obama's administration. So that is 12 years ago, 13 years ago. But I think now they're providing visibility for 10 years. They're already facilitating the access to data credit through much large number of potential providers. So and they have already simple system for accessing to this support. So either for the ITCs and PTCs related to the investment in renewables, or for the green hydrogen, or for already any industries related with the decarbonization. So in Europe, we have already these funds, and we have already this thing in many years ago. The Next Generation EU was precisely the funds where 40% of these funds were for allowing and permitting and accelerating the energy transition. So I think that's there. The point is that we are sometimes, we need to accelerate the implementation. For instance, I think in the green hydrogen, there are very many projects. We have already many projects in Spain for that one, in other countries. Still, we don't know what is going to be the support we are going to have for those projects. So I think we need to already accelerate it. Brussels already approved, but still is pending of the Spanish approvals. So in terms of the energy market reform, I think all the improvements are fine, but I think something which is important has been said by the European Commission, as I mentioned, is the first thing, the market has already performed well. I think we have not had blackouts in Europe. I think it means the investment has been flowing in time for such the Europeans were enjoying a very good electricity system in the continent. So and that's why I think they are saying what they are trying to improve. So they are trying to promote long-term contracting, so this promote these PPAs. They are already trying to promote already even a secondary market if needed. They are giving already the voluntary CFDs in some situations. We are having CFDs in this moment in some countries, but CFD auctions. So, but voluntary ones. So, and they are already trying to make the things in a manner that incentivize the flow of money, the flow of investment into the continent for diminishing our dependency, external dependency of fossil fuels, and increasing our self-sufficiency.
Next question is related to the PNM deal. Can you give us the latest update on the situation for the approval of the PNM deal?
So, as I mentioned, we have already signed with PNM an agreement extension for 3 extra months, which we consider is time enough for being revised all the deal by the new regulatory commission. So, we continue committing with the transaction. I think that fits with Avangrid's strategy and is very positive for New Mexico customers. So the fact, I think there are big social support to the transaction in New Mexico. So and that demonstrates that the 23 of the 24 parts has already been presented in the deal. So I think they are already supportive. So and all the permits related to the rest of federal authorities, et cetera, all are out of time. So I think we are confident and we are fully committed, and I think we expect that in these 3 months, agreement extension will be enough for already obtaining all the permits to continue and to complete the transaction.
Question number 8. Does Iberdrola plan to bid in the UK offshore CFD auction round 5 this year?
So can you repeat, please?
Does Iberdrola plan to bid in the UK offshore CFD auction round 5 this year?
Well, I think we are selective. I think, as I mentioned before, I think auction is one of the routes to the market. I think we are countries and we are already having these CFDs auctions. In Britain, we have already. It's Anglia 3 is in that one. In Germany, we are already through PPAs. In the state, we are through PPAs. It depends. So I think in that case, I think we are already, we will analyze and we will decide what should be the route of market we are going to take for this project. But our intention, certainly, is to go ahead with the project if the terms and the conditions are attractive enough.
The supply chains is the next question. Do you see any risk in the U.S. regarding the supply of PV panels from Asia? Initiative to revert the exemption granted by President Biden of the fees for 2 years.
Well, I think that is some question that you have already passed to me previously. I think, if I not remember bad, I think we had only one project that has been affected for the restriction in the state, a solar panel, which now is solved. So I think the restriction that we had already removed, but I think is that our plan is in this moment, as I mentioned, 1,700 megawatts under construction. Offshore is accounting for 50%. and the rest is already just fully covered by all the agreement with the supply with the supplier. So, as I remember, only we have already problem with what we now is fully removed the restriction we had already.
This question is related to the U.S. offshore wind activity. May we ask the latest on U.S. offshore wind? Is Commonwealth wind cancelled? What's the latest of Park City negotiation? And does Iberdrola still see U.S. offshore wind as an attractive market for the capital allocation?
So, it's related to the Commonwealth.
Commonwealth wind and Park
so,
City.
Well, I think it's... the system in the United States, the auctions in the United States is based on a fixed price with no revision during long periods. So I think that has already been working for a few years. Once you can already fix your capex with suppliers, we can already give it to you fixed terms for making already the complete construction of the project. Unfortunately, that's where the terms in which not ourselves, everybody, another project, we were already bidding in this context. The fact, I think, in the terms of the agreement, the contract has a clause that you are allowed to leave this project if you are, for in whatever circumstances, you feel that you are not already ready to build on the terms you have already committed. So I think that's already is in the contract. It's already a penalty, if I remember bad, on the range of $20 million, something else. But I think it's already that one. So I think, and what has already happened? Since the moment we make we went to the bid and we make the offer, so the things, the world has already changed. So I think now the prices are not any longer the level they had already a few years ago, are much, much higher. The prices we've been offered by the vendors. They are not ready to keep already these prices fixed for a period of 4 or 5 years, which takes the construction of those assets. And I think we've been forced to say, sorry, we apply the clause number whatever, which is in the contract, and we will not proceed with the project in these terms. And that's it. So I think, and what that means? That means then they're going to make a new auction, and I think we will revise the terms of the new auction. If the new auction, the terms are already attractive, we will go ahead with it. If not, we will look for another route to market. So it's the same thing. But it's not our commitment in the state continues. I think the fact we are the only one which really we are already building and constructing an offshore wind farm, which is Vineyard Wind, with the first export is going to be held during this quarter. So, and I think our commitment there is continue, but I think we are not ready when we have the certainty that the terms in which we have already gained the bid are not any longer sustainable. We have to denounce that one and to move back to better condition and to apply the clause in which we have the right to leave the project if that is not really convenient. But I insist, everybody in the state has already done the same thing. So it's not ourselves. Everybody, we are in the same position.
Next question is: could you update us about the U.S. IRA short-term impact already secured? Question number on the IRA, U.S. IRA, the impact.
I think, as I mentioned, it's a good news. So I think that gave already visibility for 10 years. So in terms of the ITCs and PTCs, we can already head. And the second thing is we have access to much more potential providers or the funds for the ITC and PTC, so I think we can diminish the cost of financing on these terms. And the third one, I think there are certain another kind of support related to the grid, where they are going to make providing certain extra funds for electrifying, increase the transmission, electrifying certain and services. They are giving us some money for providing power for charges, etc., etc. And finally, we have a good thing, which is the access of our repowering. We are unique. We have almost 10,000 megawatts already wind installed in the United States. They are allowed probably 30, 40% or 50%, I don't know how much, but very huge amount of this are allowed to be repowered. This repowering has access as well to these ITCs, PTCs. And we have already, for those customers, we have as well the PPA signed, which I think we can extend the PPAs, and we can already extend for longer, even for better condition, with a more powerful wind farms that with much lower capex than those if we have been forced to make already a green field. So, which I think that is a great opportunity for us, all this repower, then probably I think, I imagine, my colleague Pedro Azaga will explain to you in due time about all this thing in more detail.
Next question is regarding asset disposals. Once the target has been completed, could you consider selling additional assets? Is still the sale of renewable assets in the U.S. on the table?
Well, I think we are always revising our asset base, and I think we make already a target. The target is completed. That doesn't mean that we are going to go to bed. We will continue alive, and we will continue analyzing and seeing the opportunities. If there are any opportunity arise, sure, then we will be ready to look at it. But now our plan for 20 and 25 is important to say that it is completed. So, I think always we are ready to look and to revise. But now there are not any new plan to make any other thing, unless those what will be needed in some particular places.
Next question: can you explain the rationale for the deal with GIC to promote electricity transmission in Brazil? With this agreement, is your asset rotation plan finalized, or there are more to come?
Well, I think for me the most important thing with GIC is that the largest sovereign funds of the world would like to be our partners and to co-invest with ourselves. I think for ourselves and for our team is a very good news. Means we are a reliable a company which people likes to do things together. So, which I think that means our reputation in this large financial institution means is very good. The second thing, I think that for me is important. I think to have as partners NCs and Norges, to have as partners GIC, Hispanic IKEA, to have as partners Shell. So I think that offer to us already it's often a very good sign that we are serious in our approach to doing things. In the case of Brazil, I mentioned the opportunities of transmission are huge. So I think only this year the plan is presented by the government is 50 billion reais investment in transmission. So I think we are in this moment making 1,000 kilometers of transmission, high voltage transmission lines, and something like 30, 35 substations. So, which I think is a huge investment. So that offered the opportunity, the possibility to accelerate our presence and our expansion in Brazil without sacrificing the financial solidity of our subsidiary. So that will allow Neoenergia to diminish, to deconsolidate any huge amount of their own debt, and to have the opportunity of participate in another transmission, which we are demonstrating that is has already generated a lot of value. So I think when we won 3 years ago these auctions, some people were criticizing that those has not already had value. So I think the fact that these large sovereign funds are already ready to buy and to ready to participate with ourselves means that for them that is already a business with adds real value. And I think it's adding real value if we analyze already the transaction and the opportunities which are generating. We have already accumulated huge experience in that one. Which I think allow ourselves not only to make this thing in Brazil or in the United States, also we are looking opportunities in Australia, because as we had already these opportunities in Britain. In Britain, you know, we have already been awarded with another submarine transmission line to connect the Eastern Link, similar to those one we make the Western Link, connecting Scotland with Wales, the Western, and connecting Scotland with England, the Eastern Link. So I think that is one of our areas of a special skill, a special know-how that we are already developing, and that is already why certain largest sovereign funds of the world would like to share with us and to co-invest with ourselves in this project, because I insist they are generating value, they consider generate value, we are convinced they're generating value.
This question has been already answered, but I would like to point it out that is interesting to repeat. Can you explain the 400 bit versus consensus of Q1? And the second part, can these results be considered as the quarterly underlying performance for the rest of the year?
Well, as we have mentioned, obviously this has to do with, especially I would say there is a 275 million pounds improvement in the UK business, and also in Spain we have had higher production, a normalized hydro situation, as Armando has explained, also that we don't have the problems of the nuclear plant, and also we have a better performance in our gas business. I think these numbers are, we cannot consider that this could be repeated, and I think that in the next quarters we will see that although we will have a relatively good performance, we will not be repeating these numbers. No?
We are now reaching the last question, number 17, and the rest, if there is another one question that we are going to receive, we will answer it from the Investor Relations Department. Number 17 is said, Iberdrola is promoting the largest green hydrogen hub in Huelva. Can you update us in our view on the role that hydrogen is likely to play in the European energy mix?
So I think this project, as you know, is already our plan. We have already building some solar power plant in the area, also which can be combined as well with another sources renewable we have as well in the area, wind. So we have already the mix of wind and solar in the area. We had already the land and all those things for making that one. We have already presented that one to the European funds. Has been approved, the IPCI funds in Europe. The project has been considered as a project to be already funded. And I think we are, it's the total capex involved on the range of 2.5 billion, something like that. The plan is not only to produce hydrogen, it's to produce ammonia which can be used already locally or can be exported. So that is a conglomerate on that one. And we are expecting just the decision from the Spanish authorities. So I think Europe has already approved. We have already all the premises, the land, the connection, the power, everything is ready. And we are spending to know what is going to be the level of support of this project. So we have a similar project as well in Sines, in Portugal, which as well has been presented to the European funding projects. And I think it's to make that one. So I think there are two similar ones as well in Sines. We have the land, we have the project approved for making 1,200 megawatt already in the near area of solar. So, and also the similar one. I think in both cases are identical in the sense of producing electricity, renewable electricity, green and solar, plus to make hydrogen, and this hydrogen to be transformed in ammonia. So ammonia to be used locally or to be exported, and we have already even some MOU signed with some takers of that one in Netherlands. So which I think that the projects are very advanced.
Okay, now please let me give the floor to Mr. Galán again to conclude this event.
So thank you very much for taking part of this conference call. I would like to remind you that on Friday we will hold our AGM, which, as you know, can be attended through different digital channels. In any case, for today's presentation, our investor relations team will be available for any additional information you may require. Thank you very much, and I'll be delighted you attend already this AGM. Thank you very much.